This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota State House of Representatives, the Local Government Committee, to order this morning. Secretary, call the roll.
Boland.
Here.
Cronin.
Here.
Curd. Fikert.
Here.
Fryreeks.
Present.
Lederman.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Romkema. Rounds.
I'm here.
Solberg.
Here.
Vanderlinde.
Here.
Rausch.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here.
Quorum present.
Quorum is present. All of the committee members have minutes from last meeting in front of them. I'd ask them to take some action on those.
Move the approval.
Thank you, Representative Rausch. Second by Representative Vanderlinde. Comments on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Just a quick reminder to our guests in the audience to please mute their phones. We welcome everybody listening on the internet, and perhaps shortly we'll be able to introduce our pages when they arrive. We have had a special request. We do have three bills to deal with this morning. A reminder to the committee members, we do have one that came in a little late that we will be taking up tomorrow. Don't we have one more?
I don't think so.
No, this is it.
I think we're good.
All is good. We're moving our agenda around just a little bit. We had a request to move Senate Bill 169 as the first bill this morning. With that, we'll begin testimony on Senate Bill 169. I'm guessing that we have a proponent in the form of Senator Peterson. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Senator Jim Peterson, District 4. Representative Rausch and I come from the same district along the Minnesota border, and in our district we have the Katoa Ridge, which runs down to the Buffalo Ridge, so there's a lot of wind development that occurs in that area. And right now we have a lot of companies that are going through and taking easements and options for easements in this area. Now, working with one major utility company, it came to light that we have a few prospecting type companies that are coming through, and they're taking easements and they're not filing them in a timely order. And this bill was intended to try to get them to file in a timely order so that the legitimate wind companies would have an idea who was there and who they could contact if there was an area that was in an area where they wanted to build a wind farm. And it's come to light that sometimes our pieces of legislation have unintended consequences, and this one does, and it needs further work. And so at I'm going to ask you to table this bill, but I'm also going to ask you to please consider having a summer study on wind generation. We are just in the infant stages here in the state of South Dakota on wind generation. We have some very good companies that are building wind farms. They're building wind farms in Representative Rausch and my district right now, and we also have some that are just prospecting, trying to tie up a key site somewhere for connections and to transmission lines. And we need to address a lot of issues with the development of these, and I've been told that there's several areas that really need to be studied and come up with proper legislation so that it isn't a hindrance to the legitimate developers and isn't it a hindrance to the utility companies, and also protects the rights of the landowners. And that's what a lot of this legislation is about. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I respectfully request that you table Senate Bill 169. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. This committee did receive a request, but I will certainly put the old lure out. Are there additional proponents to Senate Bill 169? Additional proponents to 169. Hearing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 169, excluding Senator Peterson? Any opponents to Senate Bill 169? Hearing none, I will immediately ask this honorable committee to take some action on Senate Bill 169. Representative Rausch.
I move 41st day on Senate Bill 169.
Thank you. Second by
Lederman.
Thank you. comments on that, Representative Roush?
Yeah, I would just like to echo what Senator Peterson said. You know, our district is on the wind path, and so a lot of development is going on. And there was some concerns of protecting landowners, and we noticed that this wording wouldn't necessarily protect those that are working with easements. So I am going to recommend a summer study for wind and the development of that, but we've also had a commitment from some of the other wind developers and the utilities in the area as we're working through these projects to include this in some wording, and we'll come back next year with some good legislation that's more comprehensive and that has had an opportunity to be thought through. So at this time, I would ask the committee support on the 41st motion.
Thank you, Representative Roush. Additional comments on that motion to send Senate Bill 169 to the 41st legislative day. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do commend Senator Peterson for bringing this issue and also understanding the additional work that needs to be done. I do have a question of the chair. Would that title, in the title of that bill, would artisan distillers be germane to that title? Thank you.
Additional legitimate questions or concerns on Senate Bill 169? Hearing none, the motion before you is to send Senate Bill 169 to the 41st legislative day. The secretary will call a roll.
Bolin?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Feigert?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Romkema?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Solberg?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Roush?
Aye.
Kirkby?
Aye.
12 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 169, having received the majority of vote, is hereby gone to the 41st legislative day. Next, Senate Bill 130, an act to require written consent for the issuance of certain disinterment permits. Any proponents of Senate Bill 130? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Margaret Gillespie, Senator, District 16. Senate Bill 130 is a bill which will require consents before a disinterment permit is issued. As you're looking at 3425.38.1, that's under the chapter Vital Records and Burial Permits, under which the Department of Health has authority. Current law allows disinterment of a decedent's remains through an application to the department or through court order. What this bill does is clarifies that in order to obtain that permit, you would have to have the consents of certain family members. As you look at the underscored language in the bill, before, if there's no court order, before the Department of Health may issue a disinterment permit, they would have to have the written consent of the surviving spouse of the decedent, or if there is no surviving spouse or the person's deceased or incapacitated, then the next of kin, as you see recited there within the same degree of kinship. If the decedent is a minor, then the disinterment, if it's not through court order, then you need the written consent of the surviving parents of the minor child. Mr. Chairman, there's some administrative rules on disinterment, but I couldn't find any notice provisions in the law as far as notifying relatives, such as a surviving spouse or in the case of a child, both surviving parents. And so I think what this legislation does, it really gives guidance to the Department of Health as to who may obtain a permit. It merely requires those consents before a permit is issued, and I would submit that moving a decedent's remains is a serious matter, and we ought to require in law the consent of those family members as provided in the bill. I would stand by for any questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Additional proponents to Senate Bill 130.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Miller with the South Dakota Funeral Directors Association. When a disinterment is requested, usually the first person contacted is the funeral director. All too often, the funeral director ends up in disputes between family members. We end up being the point of contact that takes this issue to the health department. We need to clarify this on the permission of the family. It's important to the funeral industry that we have this legislation. I thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents to Senate Bill 130. Additional proponents. Hearing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 130? Any opponents? Hearing none, we will close testimony, turn it over to committee discussion, questions, and or action on Senate Bill 130. Representative Solberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have an amendment that I would like to present.
Representative Solberg, are you holding the only amendment?
No, I am not. The page will pass out
Very
the
good.
Amendment.
Representative Solberg, it has been distributed, so fire away.
Okay, the amendment, as you can read there, it says on page 2, after line 9 of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, in gross bill insert, section 2, whereas this act is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, and safety, an emergency is hereby declared to exist, and this act shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage and approval.
Thank you, Representative Solberg. Prior to bringing up this amendment, I will ask this committee if there's additional committee questions, comments, or discussion on Senate Bill 130. Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since this is new and we still have our proponent in the room, would it be all right if I would ask her a question?
Absolutely, Representative Rausch. You have a question for Senator Gillespie?
I do have a question for Senator Gillespie.
Certainly.
Or Bob Miller, or whoever would like to answer it.
Certainly is in order, so you have it.
I look at the, my question is, I look at the amendment, and it, to me it looks like we're just trying to declare an emergency requiring a two-third vote, and I'm wondering if it is an emergency and what would be the reason to make it be a two-third vote to pass this bill.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rausch, I think that's a question for the sponsor of the amendment. It's not my amendment.
Same question to Representative Solberg.
That was not the purpose of the amendment. The purpose was to emergency get it implemented ASAP.
If I may, Mr. Chair, are you finished, Representative Rausch? Thank you, Mr. Chair. To my understanding, the main intent of the amendment is should this bill be passed and it would go into effect, of course, July 1st as a law from now until July 1st, you know, those individuals could exercise the ability prior to this becoming law without the consent, and so therefore the intent would be to have it take effect immediately to prevent abuse, perhaps, before the law goes into effect, if I'm clarifying that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any follow-up, Representative Frerich? Yes, Representative Bullen.
Question for Mr. Miller. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Miller, is this a made... Or let me rephrase the question. Do you have any idea how many times a request like this is made to funeral directors across the state on an annual basis? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, Representative, I do not. I have no information on that at all.
Mr. Chairman, follow up if I could. Would you be able to comment on its frequency in any way as to how many of these requests are made?
Mr. Chairman, we could find out from the department how many disinterment permits were issued. That would be the only way we could get a handle on any kind of numbers. So if you're inquiring as to the emergency clause, if that's your questioning is leading to that direction, I know of no current battles out there that would necessitate an emergency clause, but I have fairly limited knowledge of that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Miller.
Representative Roush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm not very far removed from the business of being in cemeteries and decorating graves and working with funeral directors, and I can tell you there is interments happening all the time, but most of those are because families are moving and they take it. The rare event in which the permission that's being asked here that would be in a disgruntled situation or something like that is quite a bit more rare. I don't think that you would want to put an emergency clause on it to just complicate it. I think the bill is good as it is. I think it'll take effect. I think it'll solve the problems, and I just don't see, you know, we would be asked then to remove and transplant memorials in our business, and that request is very, very few times. So it's not a big deal, but this is a situation where things are extremely emotional, and in the rare cases where you would need these permission slips, they're extremely bitter, and that's what we're trying to protect the way I read it, so I would ask them just to resist the motion and pass the bill.
Thank you. Representative Browns, and then Representative Betty Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Former Representative Gillespie, would you like to answer the same question that Representative Boland had posed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question, Representative Browns. And I it's not my amendment, so I'm not here to testify in favor of or against the amendment, but I would like to bring to the Chair's attention that over in the Senate, we did add rulemaking authority to the Department of Health, and I guess I would have to defer to our LRC staffer as to the ability of making the rules if the emergency clause is in place, and that just came to my mind as I sat there digesting the emergency clause.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Senator. Representative Betty Olson.
I think my question is probably for Mr. Miller. Out in our area, the vast, almost abandoned Northwest, we have a lot of little cemeteries out in the middle of people's pastures. There may be one or two bodies buried there, and they've been there since some of them pre-homestead days. Now, we don't have any idea of where their relatives even are, and there's been some talk about consolidating some of those graves, taking them to a regular spot where we can upkeep the cemetery. Now, would we have to go through this process of finding their relatives in order to move those old abandoned graves?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have the answer for that because the Department of Health's not here, but if it requires a disinterment permit, yes. Now, the question then becomes, does that action of yours require the permit? Now, that I don't know, and we'd have to talk to the Department of Health.
Thank you.
Additional committee questions, comments, discussions. I do have one. Is Representative Dietrich here? I would like to ask the sponsors of this bill if they would consider this proposed amendment friendly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, Margaret Gillespie, Senator, District 16. I am really going to defer to the discretion of the committee because it's not my amendment, but I do have concerns, as I indicated, about the department's ability to promulgate rules if this is going to be effective upon the governor's signature, if he would see so fit to sign it and this body see fit to pass it.
Thank you, Senator. With that, I will plant a little seed to Representative Solberg to see if he would like to move that amendment at this time.
Mr. Chair, so I move.
Amendment 130T, moved by Representative. That was very good. You have it. Comments on that motion to amend?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What happens here is from the testimony that there's a prevalent problem we are trying to correct here, and that is to get permission. And if the bill waits until July 1st, then some of this could go on prior to that without this amendment. So I urge that you take into consideration amendment, which we consider friendly, it unanimously passed in the Senate, and I feel that it should do so here in the House also. Thank you.
Representative Frericks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I echo the comments by the gentleman representative from the Sioux Falls area. But I would say that as far as the rulemaking authority, I'm not very familiar, I guess, what sort of rules are going to have to promulgate. I highly doubt that the extents of that would be very much. And for that matter, if we look at just the pure intent of trying to prohibit abuse, I think that this is a good amendment. We can move it forth. I don't see it being a hindrance to the bill. It seemed like it had, there's no opposition to putting the bill in place, and it didn't have any problems on the Senate side. And so I urge your support for the amendment.
I think additional comments on that motion to amend. Representative Roush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the effort to try to get this in place as quickly as possible and to not allow this type of thing to happen again. And I would argue and ask the committee to resist the motion. I am very compassionate to this type of deal. I deal with families all the time dealing with death and grief, and this type of action rekindles that. I do not think it's an emergency. It happens more rare. I think to say that it's prevalent would be quite an overstatement, or we would have passed a law to handle this years ago. I don't think it's an emergency. And rather than taking chances on not concurrence and messing with the bill, I like it in its form. I think it addresses some concerns that are not emergency concerns, and I would ask the committee to resist the motion and pass the bill.
Thank you, Representative Roush. Additional comments, discussion on the pending amendment 130TA. Hearing none, that is a voice vote. All those in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion fails. Back to discussion, comments, and or action on Senate Bill 130. Representative Roush.
I would move due pass on Senate Bill 130.
Betty Olson. Comments, Representative Roush.
I think we've discussed it fully, and I think it's a good bill. It's good legislation, and it protects those parents that, or people that have gone through dramatic events from having to relive that without their desires. So I would ask for your support.
Thank you. Additional committee comments, Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I applaud the sponsors for bringing this. It maybe clarifies something that's not too frequent, but when it does come up, it may be a problem. I have a little bit, and they can maybe explain to me after committee today the little bit of problem I'm having with the word spouse, the word itself, and what it all includes. But other than that, I think it's a good bill. We should pass it out of here, get it on consent calendar, and move it out. Thank you.
Additional discussion, motion do pass Senate Bill 130. Hearing none, the motion in front of you is to send Senate Bill 130 down to the floor with the do pass motion. Secretary, call a roll.
Bolin?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Feigert?
Aye.
Frericks?
Aye.
Lederman? Excused. Olson?
Aye.
Romkema?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Solberg?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Roush?
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
10 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 130 has received the majority of the vote. Send down the floor to do pass motion.
Second.
Motion is second to move Senate Bill 130 down the floor on the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? It is so moved. Thank you. See if I could, now that I have our pages here, could you come up and honorably identify yourself and please tell us where you're from? And we really do appreciate all you do for us.
Marissa Nelson from Sioux Falls.
I'm Aaron Deitch from Siston.
Thank you. District 1. We won't hold that against you. I'm sorry.
Page.
And committee members, looks like we do have some guests in here. Is anybody here would like to recognize their Representative Rounds? Do you have a lot of friends in here?
Class here today from Gregory, South Dakota.
Welcome. Welcome. Any other guests that the committee would like to recognize? I am a little blessed. I am fortunate to have my daughter, Tammy, in the audience back here. Representative Rounds is flirting with her, but that's okay. Welcome. Senate Bill 184, an act to require the terms of certain easements or options to accommodate other easements for wind or essential services. I do believe that we do have a proponent in the form of Senator Gary Hansen sitting down. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. State Senator Gary Hansen, District 1. Hopefully this won't take as long as my former bill did the other day. I took an hour of your time, so this should be a lot shorter. After several years of wondering if significant large-scale wind development was ever going to take off in South Dakota, it now appears that the time has finally come. With several projects either under construction or ready to go under construction in the near future, it is important that we can take this time to make sure that development in this industry moves forward in a reasonable manner. Senate Bill 184 would simply require wind developers and other utilities to act in a reasonable fashion by accommodating other necessary utility projects that would cross land held under an existing easement. Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment that I would like to distribute at this time. Mr. Chairman, the amendment was requested by the wind developers and adds wind leases to the bill, as well as stipulating that the requirement to accommodate other essential services would not apply to competing wind developers. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to the others who provided additional information to Senate Bill 184. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Additional proponents, Senate Bill 184. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Saar, and I'm the registered lobbyist and general counsel for East River Electric Power Cooperative based in Madison, South Dakota. And in interest of brevity, I also am speaking on behalf of the South Dakota Rural Electric Association, and Ed Anderson, our registered lobbyist, is also in the room if he is needed. But I think the senator did a good job laying the issue out there. We are a power supplier to the cooperatives in eastern South Dakota and western Minnesota. We receive our power off the dam system, and then Basin Electric, based in Bismarck, North Dakota, is our supplemental wholesale power provider. I can tell you from the experiences of Basin Electric, East River, and some of our local member cooperatives that we have run into some situations where we've had some difficulties where wind developers have obtained easements that give them exclusive rights to transmission and distribution lines, and the landowner at that point feels uncomfortable giving us an easement that he or she would be happy giving to us under other circumstances. And so this bill attempts to deal with those situations and basically, you know, sets out, a very thoughtful good neighbor policy. And it says, you know, if you're out there as a utility, a wind developer, a telephone company, water system, and we're going to be crossing each other all around the state and more so in the future with projects coming on board, that basically nobody should go out there and unnecessarily block other people's projects. We worked with the wind developers, other utilities, and interested parties over the last several weeks, and in particular a couple of days ago, to come up with this amendment. We think it makes good sense. There is, and it's very similar to the version that passed the Senate, with one exception. At the suggestion of some of the wind developers, and I think this makes sense, we did add the part that says except for competing developers of wind energy projects, and they can certainly speak to it themselves, but I think I understand the issue well enough to basically say a lot of times they're out there competitively with other wind developers trying to secure property, and this practice which we in the utility world don't engage in, sometimes there may be some competitive reasons why they would want to gain some rights to help them develop a wind farm over a competitive wind project. So that was the addition to the bill. Primarily the rest of it was to move some words around and make some other changes to make it read a slightly better. So we think this is good legislation. We think it's good public policy, and certainly we'd be happy to answer any committee members' questions that you might have about the amendment or the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Saar. Are there additional proponents? Senate Bill 184.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to speak to both the bill and the proposed amendment. My member companies serve approximately 80% of South Dakota's land mass. As such, they predominantly serve small towns and rural areas. A number of these areas are currently being developed for wind energy development, or targets of wind energy development. And while most of the facilities and infrastructure that my companies lay are in the public right of way, there are opportunities and times when there are needs to cross private land. And in such cases, we work with private landowners to gain access to that land. In some cases, there is the potential, obviously, and the need in many cases for the benefit of that particular landowner to cross land that may be within an easement that he assigned with a wind developer. And I can tell you from having had personal experience in negotiating an easement with a wind developer, these easements are complicated, and in most cases I would tell you a number of landowners may or may not know exactly what is all encumbered within those easements. And so for the benefit of my member companies in terms of being able to provide service to landowners and to the populace within rural areas, we see Senate Bill 184 as a safety valve and an opportunity to continue to provide high quality communications access and services to those people in and throughout rural South Dakota. I ask you for support of Senate Bill 184 and be happy to stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Additional proponents, Senate Bill 184. Additional proponents. I'm really looking at Representative Bannerman, but we'll give her a pass for right now. Are there opponents to Senate Bill 184? Any opponents to Senate Bill 184? Hearing none, we will waive the rebuttal and or closing argument portion of that and turn it over to committee questions. Any questions? Representative Fryericks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question would be for anybody of the proponents, maybe specifically on the amendment, so I'm not sure who was in charge of that, but on the last line of the amendment, it makes the statement, except for competing developers of wind energy projects. And I understand they probably want some protection in place, but when you define competitors, you know, there's competitors all over the board. And I think that, to me, at least it seems a little bit broad. And I'm wondering if it's really needed. I would guess it probably was a pretty big issue to the amendment, but if you could inform us, please.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Representative, that's a good question, is how that came to be. And in most situations, I should just let the committee know, if we're crossing another utility, say we cross XL, say we cross Northwestern as East River Electric, we typically have a 1 or 2 page agreement, make a phone call, and the deal's done. We check for basic safety issues, but these things get done quickly. Same thing if we're working with Greg Dean's members, the telephone cooperatives and independent companies, same sort of situation, and we get these things resolved very quickly. We have had some challenges with the wind developers at times, and that's the reason for the bill. Part of the reason, though, I think that their agreements have tended to obtain some exclusive rights when it comes to power lines is because they are engaged in a very competitive business where they're working, I don't want to know if I want to use the word against, but they are competing with other wind developers to sign up landowners. And so in their method of business, it would not be uncommon to obtain those exclusive rights. When if it's dealing with another wind developer as opposed to other people providing public service, we think that is you know, something that's their business, and the request came from them because of the situation where you might have two competing wind developers, and they are wanting to make sure that another wind developer doesn't come through and put a line right through the middle of their project or their turbines without you know, some level of appropriate consideration for that industry segment. So I hope that answers the question, and please let me know if you have a follow-up question.
Mr. Chair, if I may, and I'm not sure, maybe if there would be any representatives from the wind industry, it'd be kind of nice, but I understand this is probably some sort of a compromise deal, and I respect your thoughts on this, but to me it still is an issue that we see. I'm not going to try to belabor the issue, but the problems are that when it comes to this competition, there's a lot of selfishness, and I'm just wondering, to me it seems like they're carving out an exception that maybe isn't really an issue, but only if they want to make it into it. And I just anyways, I'll stop, Mr. Chair, but I would just, if there's anybody from that wanted this in there, and if we could have a response from them, I would like to hear, but maybe we're not getting to that, Mr. Chair. So,
Representative Ferricks, do you have a question you would like to ask from somebody? You fire away.
Oh, I'm not sure the rules of the committee, but if there's a representative from the parties involved that wanted that in the amendment, I guess I would ask that they please share the need to have the exception in there.
Representative Roush.
I'm not going to jump in on behalf of the wind energy, but I know, like a railroad, they do not have to let people cross and give them easements and for a competitive railroad. And I think this would fall into the same line with wind. If they have their corridor and their easements lined up to have to allow another wind developer just to cross wherever they want to get a competitive advantage, to me, this allows them to have to create their development, knowing that if they can't get permission to cross the easement line for the other one, that they're going to have to plan something else. And we ran into this with trying to do a rail spur, Burlington Northern, and I look at it as a very similar thing, and I do not disagree with the amendment.
Any committee questions? Senate Bill 185. Representative Solberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Sartu, you made reference to exclusive easements. Could you explain that and how many of those exist now?
Mr. Chairman, yes, Representative, and there is a little bit of a challenge here because, and for some valid reasons, many of these agreements are confidential, so sometimes it's hard to even obtain it. But I have talked to some wind developers. Basically, what the language might say in that agreement is that they obtain the exclusive right to put in a transmission line, a distribution line, and those type of facilities. Then what happens is the landowner who is willing to and wants to grant us an easement for us to run our transmission or distribution line oftentimes just along their fence line, feels that if this has been obtained across their own whole parcel land, they may not be able to grant that. Then normally what we would try to do then is to contact the wind developer, and in many cases, especially if it's a reputable wind developer, if they're not planning to develop, they'll go ahead and allow us to put the line in, talk to the landowner, life is good. There have been some situations, though, where it takes several months or more, or that it can be difficult to try to contact that developer. So that's really the need for the bill. And I'll just say on our easement, our standard easement, we don't grab, even if we're going down that line, we don't obtain exclusive rights. It's just not part of our typical business model. And frankly, we see a lot of value in having good relationships with the other utilities, because if we turn around and block XL on one project, they're just going to turn around and block us on another. It just doesn't make any sense. So I think the idea here is to define a good neighbor policy. And what we did was to try to look at bringing the parties to the table to talk about these issues, as opposed to saying what you have to, can and can't have an easement, because sometimes there might be some reasons to include that sort of language in an easement.
Representative Solberg, I'll take a shot in the dark that you might have a follow-up question.
Very true. Thank you, Mr. Chair. When dealing with easements, how do they determine what land and how much land enters into this easement agreement?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think one that gets discussed a lot. It's really going to depend on the developer's method of business. Certainly, they're going to try to obtain enough land that would allow them to build their wind farm and facilities. Some people fairly narrowly define that. I have seen ones, and this was a few years back, that are very, very broad, where they'll grab large parcels. So it's sort of all over the board when it comes to these easements. Much like even a hunting easement might be, you might give somebody the ability to go into one of your fields or part of your land, but not go all around the entire area. So it's fairly similar to other easements, where it's between the landowner and the developer how to define the particular area.
Thank you very much. One more. Are you aware, or are there any exclusive easement agreements that encompass the entire farm with companies?
Mr. Chairman, there are, I want to say yes, and I think that's the right answer. We have had situations where I've talked to the wind developer in question, and they, if not the entire farm, they're obtaining a large enough parcel to where our project going right along the fence line, the property line, the road, is going to be unable to be put in without their willingness to agree to allow that to go in, because they've grabbed an exclusive right. I can't say in each and all those instances, though, that I don't know how far back that easement goes, but I would probably speculate that they're taking a large part of that, if not the entire area. I do know, though, that it's coming close enough to the road, because that's when we've been running into it with our lines, is as we're trying to go down the highways and the county roads.
Well, we are blessed that Representative Solberg is consistent. Usually it is at least two and usually three questions. Additional committee questions, Senate Bill 184. Anyone has been committee comments and or action on the proposed amendment? Friendly Representative Roush.
I move Amendment 184FA.
Amendment is moved, Representative Roush, second by Representative Rounds. Comments, Representative Roush.
Well, I appreciate Representative Frerich's concerns in the last line. I don't necessarily share those, and I think it's pretty well written. I think the testimony today shows that there's more than one entity on board with this, and I would ask the committee support.
Thank you, Representative Roush. Additional comments, on moving the Amendment 184FA. Representative Feichert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, I had to say that. I had to say that.
And no disrespect.
Senator Perry, go right
ahead. On our last committee today, it's fun to have our Madam Secretary get a little ruffled a little bit. She's been great to us and the chair, so thank you. It's been quite a day. A representative from my neighbor just down at Big Stone City. We usually get along, and we still do. But I'm going to support this amendment. But my point that I was trying to address with the questions, and I just want to make this known. There's, and I hope we do get to the summer study that was mentioned before for some wind energy, because there's work that needs to be done. But one of the problems I see all time and time again is with these wind developers and wind companies is they don't want to ever work together. They want to do all they can to undermine each other. And yes, I realize it's a competitive business, but we need them to work together in the wind industry. And that's where I think we can really see South Dakota moving forward further. I'm a huge supporter of wind energy, but I hope that we can address this a little bit more and hear from those people, because it's a little bit different animal than just private business in dealing with the wind energy projects. They affect communities and they affect the state. So anyways, I will support the amendment, but look forward to further discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I've had the opportunity to visit with my friend to the left here.
On
the left side. On his question, and when you read the language of the original bill or the amendment here, and I'm going to support the amendment, the key word in the whole subject here is the word shall. And if you really take a hard look at that language, for essential services shall accommodate the reasonable development of another holder, any wind easement, et cetera, except for competing developers of wind energy projects. The word shall includes those that are not competing developers. That, in turn, would force these developers to work together. And I think that addresses the question that my friend here has. If you take that out of there, if you take that last line out of the amendment, except for competing developers, now they aren't forced. I mean, they are forced to accommodate. They don't have to work together. So I think putting that language in there forces them to work together. I think it's a good amendment, and I would ask you to approve the amendment and pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rounds. It's always nice that you're always short and to the point and brief. Additional comments on that pending amendment?
I've got another comment.
Hearing none, it is a voice vote amendment before you is to move 184FA. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate Bill 184 is amendment. Additional committee comments, action on the amended version of Senate Bill 184, Representative Rausch.
I move due pass on Senate Bill 184 as amended.
Thank you, Representative Rouse. Seconded by... Should that be nice, too? Additional comments. Representative Rausch.
I think we've been through that as a discussion with the amendment and the bill, so I just ask your support.
Representative Frericks, you're a good sport. Motion before you, send Senate Bill 184, do pass motion down to the floor. Secretary will call a roll.
Bolin?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Feigert?
Aye.
Frericks?
Aye.
Lederman? Olson?
Aye.
Romkema?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Solberg?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
12 ayes, 1 excused.
184. We haven't received a majority vote. It's passed. We'll remind this honorable committee, very worthy discussion on a summer study. We are planned, if it would work for all of your schedules, to in fact have our informational meeting next Tuesday. Bring your thoughts and ideas on what the South Dakota State House of Representatives Local Governments Committee might in fact propose to the Executive Board with LRC as a summer study. If we're all in concurrence with that, we will in fact do that at 10 o'clock.
Sounds like a date.
Well, work there. There being no further business, thank you, Representative Rouse. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third, fourth. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.